This is Trevor Cars. I'm going to continue with the conversation that I had about fear, as it ties into confidence. When you overcome fear, you become confident. And that makes you a very powerful person. Confidence is a fantastic trait. There's likely something you are very comfortable with, that you are fearless on, that shows you are confident in. And that is attractive. Confidence is a very attractive state. And I know you cannot be confident in everything, but even if you're confident in one thing, supremely confident in that one thing, people will take notice. And they'll realize you are fearless in that one area. And you become a specialist in that one area. Confidence is the result of you tackling your fear. It is the reward. And it is a great feeling, because you are free of anxiety. You are free of negative emotions. You are aware of the activity, and you can tackle it with ease, with effortlessness, that others look at in awe. I've never really been one to show confidence in my subject matter. I think I hesitate, or I kind of wean on one side or the other. I never truly own it. Hasn't been until recently that I've started creating content and really taking control of my voice and my stance and my views and my thoughts. Confidence comes with maturity. Comes with understanding who you are. Comes with understanding your capabilities, your strengths, and also understanding your weaknesses, and perhaps not spending time on the weaknesses you cannot control. For if you spend more time on areas where you can be strong, you will be more confident, you will show the confidence. If you spend time on areas of weakness that are just not your forte, they are not for you, they are not your nature, will show that you are not focused on what you are good at. And it will have an effect on how people perceive you, how you feel, as you are continuing to work on the things that you just simply are not skilled at. It's about being self-aware. Self-aware of what you can control and what you can improve on. Not everyone's destined to be an astronaut. Not everyone's destined to be a musician or an actor. Some of us will spend our lives trying to be something that we are not. And that makes it very difficult for us to be confident in our identity if we try to be confident in something we just simply cannot be confident in. And chances are, if you're passionate about something and you are determined, you can be confident in that item. But if you waver, if you are uncertain, you'll never have the confidence. Find that passion, find that one thing that you want to be good at, and get confident in it. Break down fears. Master it. In the dating, relationships, social world, your confidence in communication is important. And nowadays, you can do it via text. You can show your confidence via text, via Snapchats, via images. You can exude confidence without words. Nonverbal communication can now be a confident trait in many of the younger generation. Eventually you will have to speak, though. And it does ring important to be able to speak well, to be able to carry yourself well. So I do hope that you don't let social media hide you from the importance of communication face to face, the ability to talk to people. As in order to be a confident man or woman, you need to be able to be confident with the opposite sex. I've talked about this before, and it's about exposing yourself to these fearful events to build up that confidence. In psychology, they call it exposure therapy, where they'll put you in a mechanism of continuously being shown something until you are very much comfortable and that you are acclimatized to that event. I recommend that you go through your own self-exposure therapy to get confident in the things that matter. Psychologically, that is what's holding you back, is some fear. And the way to overcome that fear and be confident is to expose yourself to the fear repeatedly, over and over again. Start out trying to ride a bike, it's fearful. Expose yourself day after day after day to the training wheels, to the point where you're comfortable with the handlebars, you're comfortable with two wheels, you're ready to take off a few wheels to the point where you can ride that bike confidently. It's repeated exposure. Your parents put you through this at a young age, and it's torture. It is absolute torture. For many of you. For others, the kids naturally enjoy it. They jump on and they say, this is exciting. Constant exposure of something that you don't enjoy can be very painful. If there's a positive reward at the end of the tunnel, then it may be worth it to push through and continue to expose yourself believe that exposure therapy is at the heart of breaking fears. And if you feel that it's not easy to do alone, I find that the help of others can really accelerate the therapy to the point where you break fears down much quicker. You become more confident. I'm lucky to have a family where I can perhaps work with and break a fear down, talk about a fear and say, I'm scared of this. I need some help. I need some support so I can get more confident. I'm not sure if I can do this alone. And it doesn't hurt to have somebody, a mentor, a peer, to work with you to overcome the fear. And that is okay. As you can build your confidence quicker when you have a partner in crime. And they hold you accountable. They will ensure that you are on track. Your mentor, your peer, your friend, family member. They will keep you on your toes, and as they should. It's important to have accountability. You go through school and education many years, well over a decade. For many, it's a continuous learning experience so that you can absorb knowledge and you can get comfortable with a particular topic. As your school funnels into a particular concentration, school starts off exposing you to many different subjects so that you get a taste of what's out there. School is designed to funnel you into a particular area that you excel at. So by the time you're 18, 19, 20, you can decide quite easily what you are good at. If I look at school in that sense, I'd say it is a great exposure of passions that you may be interested in. I only wish that it showed me more, as it does not show you everything. There are important life skills that you must learn along the way, that you must put to practice, as the knowledge of school in a book does not confidently build you up for the subject matter in the real world. And that is why we still have fear when we graduate, because we do not know how to navigate the world. We are still uncertain about what could happen. I wish that a year was taken to expose us to the real world, to really show what is out there, the trials, the tribulations, concept of starting a venture, the concept of failure. To become confident, you must experience failure. You need to be in love with failure. You need to enjoy the feeling of having failed at something. In school, we are taught that failure is bad and that it should bring anxiety to you. As you fail an exam, you could be on probation. You could be kicked out of school. That's a negative circumstance. Why would anyone want to fail? Well, nobody would. Problem is, when you graduate, there will be failures in the real world, and you will have no way of knowing how to handle them, as you are still not conditioned. You're not taught to fail when you're young. You're taught to succeed and just be very confident in success. As you receive 7th place, 8th place, 9th place rewards for mediocrity, you're built up to be falsely confident in failed endeavors. And it astounds me that children don't understand failure. They're encouraged to keep going and not learn from the mistakes previously. Not learn that failure is okay. By grade 4, you were given letter grades. You have an F. You're not coached. You are left behind. You are forgotten. It does not feel good having failed. The people who have A's, they will have more attention, as they should. They're confident in their subject matter. However, the people that failed, perhaps they're in a wrong position. And they may be confident elsewhere. It's our task to find out where they can be confident. Promote those activities. In school, we are pigeonholed to do a certain type of education, specific classes. And there isn't much flexibility until university. And the structure is similar in that exams take focus. They're this scary thing. And we should have been exposed to exams at a young age, and to make them out to be fearless activities. But we are judged, we are criticized based on exams. Hence this enormous fear and anxiety around exams in university. People commit suicide because of exams and the approach of the exam. As we get closer to the date, people are in a mess. They're in a disarray. It's because they don't like exams. It is not something they can be strong in. For me, I had a difficulty in taking exams. I simply was not good at exams, regardless of the subject matter. I excelled in project-based work with teams, with collaboration, with working my ass off to complete a project. That is what I excelled in. To take a few weeks and study for a very specific type of exam, it was not for me. And school became based on that. I find that the initial elementary, high school is mostly projects. The prevalence of exams is much greater as you get older. It's not necessarily for you. And I believe that is okay. If you do better in other ways, and your workflow is better in other ways, that is okay. For in the real world, it is unlikely you will ever take a single exam. Unless you continue to go to school, then you will have many exams. But in the real world, your employer is not going to give you an exam. And I suppose it's a way of figuring out how you handle pressure. And I don't think it is the way, as if you are not able to do an exam, you're just not cognitively conditioned to handle exams, you are set for failure. You're set to be miserable. As you are waiting to do the projects, and you are craving projects, you're craving a specific type of work, and yet school is not providing it for you, then how can you enjoy school? How can you be confident in your abilities in school? As I talked about your weaknesses, and spending time on your weaknesses may not necessarily be the way to go. Well, if school only shows your weaknesses, then it is demoralizing to be going to school, as all you do is work on weak activities, and you never get to work on your strengths. Then you are negatively exposing yourself to the wrong things. Positive reinforcement and exposure and the activities that help you grow. That is what I encourage to build confidence. As you get out of university, you are in control of your level of confidence. You can take on the world however you please. Nobody's there to hold your hand. That is where mentors are even more important. Keep you accountable. As you don't have any more teachers out of university. Teachers are gone. So who do you have to teach you? Who do you have to build your confidence? It is up to you to find those people. It is up to you to find those circumstances where you can continue to break your fears. Seeing people that go into their 50s, 60s, 70s, and they have this fear. Fear of life. And they never experience what they could have. And I look at them and I say to myself that is an individual filled with regret. Regret for not having done something. And now that it is too late, they're living in fear. Fear of the unknown. And I say to you that I do not want you to grow up and be one of those people. I want you to be fearless. I want you to feel confident in some endeavor. Confident in your work, passionate. As living a fearful life is no life to live. So I wish that you break down barriers and get confident. And struggle through. As that pain is worth it to receive that reward, confidence, to become that better person. That's important.